The ever-aged soul slumbers far longer than either. I will explain the reason of this to you in a moment. The highly spiritual person, needing but comparatively little transformation to fit him for the higher planes, may slumber here only a very short time, and then passes on to some of the higher astral planes, or, in cases of high development, may omit these higher astral planes, and pass on at once to the plane or planes above the astral into what occultists know as the heavens, which, technically, are regions of the mental plane, and the ones still higher. The average soul, however, slumbers a much longer time, many years, perhaps, and then awakens upon a higher astral plane suited to its requirements. The low, material soul, as a rule, awakens very speedily, and passes at once to the low plane for which it has an affinity. But, note this difference. The highly developed soul awakens speedily, for the reason that it has less to slough off and be transformed into higher attributes. The work is already partially performed. The average soul, on the other hand, requires a much greater transformation for its scenes of higher activities, and so remains much longer in the transforming sleep. And, last note the seeming paradox, and its explanation. The low, material soul awakens speedily, not because it has been transformed easily for the higher scenes, but, on the contrary, because it is not destined for these higher scenes. It never reaches them, but descends to a low plane of the astral, where it lives out its low inclinations and ideals, until it finally sickens of them, at least to an extent, and then is ready for further transformation. All souls, however, high or low, eventual, move off the astral and enter into the place, or rather the state, of the mental plane, or the regions of the heavens, leaving their astral shells behind them. Some of the highest, as I have said, mount to these planes without any intervening stay on the higher astral, but the majority have their share of astral life, higher and lower. On the heaven planes, the spiritual souls spend great periods of time enjoying the well-earned bliss. Souls lower in development spend less time there. The low, material souls, scarcely taste the experience of those high regions. I shall speak further regarding this, as we proceed. As a general rule, I would remind you, the higher the advancement of a soul, the greater the time between its incarnations, and vice versa. There are special cases, however, such as the call to duty on the part of a high soul, or a strong attraction to another, or others, approaching reincarnation, which may bring back a high soul in a shorter time than it really deserves. This is simply renunciation, however, on the part of the high soul, and is not a violation of the general rule as stated a moment ago. Let us now change our vibrations, and visit some of the scenes of astral life, in which the awakened souls are living, moving, and having their being. A few actual illustrations of life on these planes will teach you more regarding this great subject, than would volumes of books, or years of verbal teaching. Let us begin at some of the lowest sub-planes, and their divisions. The sight is not pleasant, but you will gain a valuable lesson. Here, to down at page 51 in the online book. Chapter 7. Scenes of the Astral. We are now vibrating on the very low subdivision of the lowest subplane of the astral. You are conscious of a very unpleasant feeling, and an almost physical repulsion to the atmosphere around you. Some very sensitive natures experience a feeling of being surrounded by a dense, sticky, foul, foggy atmosphere, through which they must almost force their way when they visit these regions. It is akin to the feelings experienced by a high-minded spiritual person on the earth plane, if he happens to enter a place inhabited by persons of a lewd, vulgar, depraved nature and character. This magnified many degrees by reason of the astral laws. It is no wonder that one of the old Egyptian writers, whose work survives on graven stone, said, some 4,000 years ago, "What manner of foul region is this into which I have foolishly come? It is without water, without air, it is unfathomably deep, it is the darkness of the blackest night, when the sky is overcast with dense clouds, and no ray of light penetrates their curtain." Souls wander hopelessly and helplessly about herein, In it there is no peace, no calm, no rest, no quiet of the heart or mind. It is an abomination and desolation. Woe is the soul that abideth herein. Looking around you, in the dim, ghastly light of this region, you perceive countless human forms, of the most repulsive appearance. Some of them are so low in the scale as to seem almost beast-like, rather than human. There are still lower forms on the subdivisions just below this one, but I shall spare you the disgusting sight. These creatures are disembodied souls, in the astral body, living on the low plane to which they descended when awakening from their very brief astral sleep. If you will peer through the enveloping fog, you will become conscious of the presence of the material world as a sort of background. To you it appears detached, and removed in space, but to these creatures, these low souls, the two planes seem to be blended. To them, they appear actually to be abiding in the scenes and among the persons of the lowest phases of earth life. Even you find that you can see only the very low earth scenes, living out results in outliving, and even the lowest rises in time. Some few souls, however, sink so low as to be incapable of rising, and they meet the final fate, not of damnation, of annihilation. Even in these hells of the astral, however, the degraded souls are punished not for their sins, but by them, as an old writer once forcibly stated it. But this particular scene is not the only one on this subplane of the astral. It has many counterparts. I cannot take time to show them all to you, or to describe them in detail. I can illustrate the idea, however, by stating that close to the scene you have just witnessed, is another in which the actors are those miserly, money-loving souls, who have sold all their better nature for the mess of pottage of worldly gain. The punishment, by the sin rather than for it, is similar to that of the low souls in the preceding scene. They are tormented by the sight, but are tantalized by not being able to participate. The result is practically similar to that mentioned in the last case. Some find desire increased, and others find disgust and nausea and thus seek the way to higher things. There are hundreds of similar regions on the lower astral, some of which are much higher, however, than those we have just considered. All of them serve as a purgatory, or place of the burning out of desires of a low kind, not the burning of material flames, but by the fire of the desire itself, as we have seen. This idea of burning away, or purging, of the low desires, is found to permeate nearly all religions, and has its basis in the facts of the astral. Changing our vibrations, and mounting to higher sub-planes, we pass rapidly from scene to scene. You appear astonished to notice that many of these scenes seem to be set to scenery, like a great theater. You notice with wonder the artificial nature of this astral scenery, and wonder at the fact that the people on these scenes seem to regard this scenery as natural and real, instead of make-believe. It all seems very shadowy and imperfect to you, but very real to them. The secret is that the scenery is the creation of the minds of those taking part in the scenes, and those who have preceded them on this plane. It is all make-believe, a mirage, so to speak, but very real to those taking part in the scenes. It is not the purpose of this little book to describe the chemistry of the astral by means of which it is possible for the mind to build up scenery, etc., from the astral substance. To the advanced occultist, who has studied deeply the occult chemistry, the matter is as simple as is the formation of ice from water, which in turn was once steam and at the same time as wonderful. The traveler on the astral always will bear witness to the wonders of that plane, the scenery of which is all built up in this way, though he may not be able to explain the chemistry of its formation. In this way, on the various higher planes of the astral, including some of the comparatively lower planes, we find beautiful mountains and valleys, rivers and lakes, cities, towns, villages and country land, in fact, all forms of scenery known in earth life. We also see buildings of all kinds, and all varieties of household utensils, implements, furniture, etc. All are built from the astral substance by means of the imaginative minds of the dwellers on those planes. To the visitor they seem most unreal. One can actually see through them, and on all sides of them at one time, as in the case of a transparent crystal. But to the dwellers on the astral they are as solid and real as are their material counterparts, and no doubt regarding their solidity ever enters the mind of the astral inhabitant. And what is the purpose of all this theatrical make-believe of the astral? You well ask. You will see in a moment, when I give you the key that unlocks the secret doors of the astral life and its meaning. Next headline, Chapter 8. Life and Work on the Astral. What I have just said regarding the nature of the astral scenery must not be taken as indicating that the astral, itself, is merely imaginary or unreal in any sense. Nor is the substance of which the scenery is composed any less real than the substance of which the material world is composed. On the material plane, substance manifests as matter, while on the astral plane it manifests in a finer form of stuff or material. Again, on the material plane, the material, or matter, is shaped by the physical forces of nature, or, perhaps, by the mind of man using the original material in order to build artificial structures or forms. On the astral, on the other hand, the astral material is not thrown into shape by physical forces, but is shaped and formed only by the thought and imaginative power of the minds of those inhabiting that plane. But these shapes, forms and structures of the astral material are not to be thought of as existing merely in the mind of the astral dwellers. They have an independent existence of their, 61, own, being composed of astral material, though shaped, formed and built up directly by the mind power of the astral dwellers, instead of by the physical forces of nature. The astral scenery, etc., survives the passing away of the mind which built it up, and disintegrates only after the passage of considerable time, just as do the material things on the earth plane. As for the power of the imagination of man, do not be deceived for a moment, for this is one of the most efficient powers in nature, and operates strongly even on the material plane, though on the astral its power is more easily recognized by the senses. To the dwellers on the astral, their scenery, buildings, etc., are as solid as are those of the material plane to the dwellers thereupon. Passing through the various sub-planes, and their divisions, on the astral you notice a great variety of scenery, and a great difference in the character and occupations of the inhabitants. But, you notice one general dot characteristic underlying all of the differences, namely, the fact that all of these persons astral dwellers, seem to be filled with an intense earnestness, and manifest a degree of concentration which gives to them an appearance of being preoccupied. This, often, to such an extent that they seem to be oblivious to our presence and passage through their midst, unless we address them directly. Again, everyone seems to be busy, even when their tasks are those of sport or play. The key to the occupation and pursuits of the dwellers on the astral is found in the principle that the life of the soul on the comparatively higher divisions of the astral consists in a working out of the intellectual desires, and ordinary tendencies, tastes, likes, and aspirations which they were unable to manifest fully in earth life. I do not mean the low sensual desires, or purely animal tastes, but rather the ambitions and similar forms of desire or strong inclinations. Many of these inclinations may be very creditable and praiseworthy, rather than otherwise, but they are all concerned with physical manifestations, rather than with spiritual unfoldment and evolution. 68 The Astral World Chapter 9. Higher Planes and Beyond. Raising our vibrations a little, we now enter upon the great second subplane of the astral, with its seven subdivisions and its many minor divisions and regions. Almost before I tell you, you will feel the religious atmosphere pervading this region. For this is the plane upon which the religious aspirations and emotions find full power of expression. On this sub-plane are many souls who have spent some time on the other sub-planes of the astral, doing their work there and then passing on to these scenes in order to manifest this part of their natures. But, I wish to call your attention to the occult distinction between spirituality and religion. Spirituality is the recognition of the divine spark within the soul, and the unfoldment of the same into consciousness, while religion, in the occult sense, consists of observance of certain forms of worship, rites, ceremonies, etc., the holding to certain forms of theology, and the manifestation of what may be called the religious emotions. The religious instinct is deeply implanted in the hearts of men, and may be called the stepping stone toward true spirituality, but it is not spirituality itself. In its higher forms, it is a beautiful thing, but in its lower ones it leads to narrowness and bigotry, but it is a necessary step on the path, and all must mount it in order to reach higher things. This second subplane of the astral is filled with a multitude of souls, each of whom is endeavoring to manifest and express his own particular shade of religious conception. It may be said to contain all the heavens that have ever been dreamed of in theology, and taught in the churches, each filled with devotees of the various creeds. Each of the great religions has its own particular region, in which its disciples gather, worship, and rejoice. In each region the religious soul finds just what he had expected and hoped to find on the other shore. Some remain content in their own place, while others, growing dissatisfied, drift toward some sub-region, or group, which comes nearer to their newly awakened conception of truth. In passing rapidly through these regions, you will find that each has its own particular environment in exact accordance with the beliefs of the persons inhabiting it. Some have, in the strict sense of these terms, the higher planes are those in which the spiritual forces bud and flower, and bear fruit. The astral, even on its highest planes, is the scene of the living out, and working out, of earthly intellectual and similar ambitions and aspirations. The higher the plane of the astral world, the less are the old earth's scenes in evidence, even, in the shape of the dim background we saw as we progressed on our journey. As we mounted on the scale, these old earth scenes grew very dim, and where we are standing now, on the fourth subplane, they are practically out of sight. This particular subplane is not particularly elevating, but nevertheless is interesting to the student. As we pass from scene to scene, we see the happy hunting grounds of the American Indians, thickly settled with these old aborigines who have been dwelling there for quite a period of time. They are busy and happy hunting their astral buffaloes, and other game all artificially created by their imagination, from the astral substance, and having no real existence as living, feeling animals. A little further on, we witness similar forms of the spirit land of other primitive people, in some of which the disembodied warriors fight and conquer great hosts of artificial foes, and then have great feasts according to their old customs. Valhalla is here, as well as the other imaginary paradises of the old races of men. But their inhabitants are dwindling in number, being caught up in the current bearing them onto reincarnation. But, note this, that while 64 there is nothing elevating in the pursuits followed in these scenes, there is nothing degrading or lowering, from a strictly spiritual point of view. But, there is in evidence always a living out, and wearing out, of the old desires of this kind. To make room for higher ones all tends toward spiritual evolution, raising our vibrations rapidly, and passing over many degrees of scenes of this kind, we find ourselves on a considerably higher plane. Here we see men engaged in what would be called useful work in earth life, but they are performing it not as labor, but rather as a joyous recreation. Observing closely, you will see that the work is all of an inventive and constructive nature. The men and women are perfecting that in which their interest was engaged while on earth life. They are improving on their work, and are filled with the joy of creation. They remind one forcibly of Kipling's mention of the future state when, dot, no one shall work for money, and no one shall work for fame, but each for the joy of the working. On some of these subdivisions we see the artist busily at work, turning out wonderful masterpieces, also musicians creating great compositions, of which they had vainly dreamt while in earth life. The architect builds great structures, the inventor discovers great things, and all are filled with the joy of work, and the ecstasy of creative imagination. But, make not the mistake, student, of regarding this as merely play, or as possibly a form of reward for well-done world work, though, of course, both of these elements play their part in the general working of the law. The main thing to remember is that in this work on the astral, there is an actual mental advance and progress. Moreover, in many cases, here on these very planes of the astral there is being built the mold from which will actually pour great inventive and creative achievements, on the material plane, in the future incarnations of these souls now doing work on this plane. The astral is the great pattern shop of the world. Its patterns are reproduced in matter when the soul revisits the earth scenes. Many a work of art, musical composition, great piece of literature, or great invention, has been but a reproduction of an astral pattern. This will help to explain the feeling common to all great performers of creative, imaginative or intellectual work, the strange feeling that their work is but a completion of something at which they had previously wrought, a rediscovery, as it were. Again, in this work play of the astral, the soul is always at work using up old ideas, aspirations, etc., and discarding them finally. In this way real progress is made, for after all even earth life is seen to be largely a matter of living out and outliving, of mounting higher on the steps of each mistake and each failure. In the work of the astral many old ideas are worked out and discarded, many old longings exhausted and discarded, many old ambitions manifested and then left behind on the trail. There is a certain burning up, and burning out of old mental material, and a place made for new and better material in the new earth life. Often, in this way, on the astral there is accomplished as much in the direction of improvement and progress, as would be possible only in quite a number of earth lives. Life on the astral is very earnest and intense, the vibrations are much higher than on the material plane. Bearing this principle in mind, these astral scenes which you are now witnessing take on a great and new meaning. You recognize them as very important schoolrooms in the great school of life. Work is being done here that cannot be accomplished elsewhere. Everything has its meaning. There is no waste effort or useless activity in the universe, no matter what the careless observer may say to the contrary. The astral is no joke of the universe, it is one of its great, real workshops and laboratories of the soul. It has its distinct place in the work of spiritual unfoldment and evolution. Chapter 9. Higher Planes and Beyond. Raising our vibrations a little, we now enter upon the great second subplane of the astral, with its seven subdivisions and its many minor divisions and regions. Almost before I tell you, you will feel the religious atmosphere pervading this region. For this is the plane upon which the religious aspirations and emotions find full power of expression. On this sub-plane are many souls who have spent some time on the other sub-planes of the astral, doing their work there and then passing on to these scenes in order to manifest this part of their natures. But, I wish to call your attention to the occult distinction between spirituality and religion. Spirituality is the recognition of the divine spark within the soul, and the unfoldment of the same into consciousness, while religion, in the occult sense, consists of observance of certain forms of worship, rites, ceremonies, etc., the holding to certain forms of theology, and the manifestation of what may be called the religious emotions. The religious instinct is deeply implanted in the hearts of men, and may be called the stepping stone toward true spirituality, but it is not spirituality itself. In its higher forms, it is a beautiful thing, but in its lower ones it leads to narrowness and bigotry, but it is a necessary step on the path, and all must mount it in order to reach higher things. This second subplane of the astral is filled with a multitude of souls, each of whom is endeavoring to manifest and express his own particular shade of religious conception. It may be said to contain all the heavens that have ever been dreamed of in theology, and taught in the churches, each filled with devotees of the various creeds. Each of the great religions has its own particular region, in which its disciples gather, worship, and rejoice. In each region the religious soul finds just what he had expected and hoped to find on the other shore. Some remain content in their own place, while others, growing dissatisfied, drift toward some sub-region, or group, which comes nearer to their newly awakened conception of truth. In passing rapidly through these regions, you will find that each has its own particular environment in exact accordance with the beliefs of the persons inhabiting it. Some have the appearance of a plain, old-fashioned meeting house, on an immense scale, while others resemble a gigantic cathedral, filled with gorgeous decorations and paraphernalia, and echoing with the sound of glorious litanies and other ritualistic forms of worship. Each has its officiating priests or preachers, according to its regulations. You see at a glance that the environment, scenery, buildings, decorations, etc., are built up from the astral substance by the imaginative power of the minds of those congregating at each point. All the stage setting and properties are found fully in evidence. I say this in all seriousness, and with no attempt to be frivolous or flippant. You may even see the golden crowns, harps, and stiff halos, in some cases, and hear the sound of the eternal chant of praise. I regret to be compelled to call your attention to the regions of some lower forms of religion, in which there is a background picture of a burning hell, at which the devotees gaze with satisfaction, feeling the joy of heaven intensified by the sight of the suffering souls in hell. It is a satisfaction to tell you that the suffering souls, and their hell, are but fictitious things created by the imagination from the astral substance. A mere stage setting, as it were. Dante's Inferno has its adequate counterparts on the astral plane. I ask you, particularly, to gaze upon this most horrible scene before us. A large, severely furnished edifice is shown, with seated congregation wearing stern, hard, cruel faces. They gaze toward the top of a smoking bottomless pit, from which rises a sort of great, endless chain, each link having a huge, sharp hook upon which is impaled a doomed soul. This soul is supposed to rise to the top of the pit once in 1,000 years, and as each appears it is heard to cry in mournful accents, "How long, how long?" To this agonized question, a deep, stern voice is heard replying, "Forever. Forever." I am glad to tell you that this congregation is dwindling, many evolving to higher conceptions, and practically no new recruits arriving from the earth plane to fill the depleting ranks. In time, this congregation will disappear entirely, and the ghastly stage scenery and properties will gradually dissolve into astral dust and fade from sight forever. All forms of religion, high and low, oriental and occidental, ancient and modern, are represented on this plane. Each has its own particular abode. It would delight the heart of a student of comparative religion to visit these scenes. There are some beautiful and inspiring scenes and regions on this plane, filled with advanced souls and beautiful characters. But, alas, there are some repulsive ones also. It is marvelous, in viewing these scenes, to realize how many forms human religion and theology has taken in its evolution. Every form of deity has its region, with its worshippers. It is interesting to visit the scenes once filled with the worshippers of the most ancient religions. Many have only a handful of worshippers remaining on this plane, while in some cases, the worshippers have entirely disappeared, and the astral scenery of the region, its temples and shrines, are crumbling away and disappearing just as have the old temples disappeared on the material plane. On the highest of the subplanes of the astral we find many regions inhabited by the philosophers, scientists, metaphysicians, and higher theologians of the race, those who used their intellectual power in striving to solve the riddle of the universe, and to peer behind the veil, by the use of intellect alone. High and low are met with here. There are as many schools of philosophy and metaphysics here, as there were religious sects on the plane below. Some are pitifully weak, crude and childish in their conceptions, others have advanced so far that they seem like demigods of intellect. But even this is not true spirituality, one any more than is the religious formalism and dogmas of the plane below. All has its place, however, and everything is evolving and unfolding. It is interesting to note then on this plane, and the one below, are to be found groups of disembodied souls who persist in declaring that there is no hereafter for the soul perishes with the body, etc. These deluded souls believe that they are still on the material plane, in spite of appearances, and they have built up quite a good counterfeit earth scenery to sustain them. They sneer and sniff at all talk of life outside of the physical body, and bang their astral tables with their astral fists, To prove how solid all real things are, they believe only that which is solid and real.